Hey folks, just popping in here to say if you like this episode of the podcast, please give it a like rating. And if you haven't already done so, please consider subscribing. We can be found on YouTube, BitChute, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Links are all in the description wherever you're tuning in from. And now, on with the show. Canadian Info Warrior Destry McLean and the Savage One, Mr. Stir.
Woo! I'm in the land of Kekistan. Have you heard of Kekistan?
It's not next door to Kanukistan, I know that.
No, it's a great country. Great country. A lot of people that look just like me live here.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And what's funny is, you know, free speech seems to be pretty prevalent here. No one censors me for my opinions in Kekistan.
Yeah, go figure.
Yeah, what do you think of that, eh?
Yeah. So, you know, I heard a rumor. Now, this is unconfirmed, but it's from a pretty reliable source.
Wasn't me.
Apparently, Stalin took the DMT.
Stalin,
and it goes further than that. Mao took the DMT. And if I'm not mistaken, Hitler took the DMT.
Where's my... Oh, damn, I don't have it on my phone.
I should have given you a chance to line that up, eh?
I think I fucking erased that mix, too. Damn it.
I was just listening to one of the Skype voice messages you sent me last week, I think it was, and it was that song.
Nice.
They're all screwed up because they're all taking the DMT.
Yep. Shout out to Ben Pye and his infamous dance mix.
And Alex Jones for coming up with it in the first place.
Yeah. So, how's
but
your week?
Duncan Trussell takes the DMT, and he seems pretty okay, you know? I was almost about to say sane, but I'm sure Duncan wouldn't like me for accusing him of that.
Nice. How's your week been?
Oh, it's been another work week. Actually, it was a short work week because I had an extra day off there along with my holidays, so I only worked 3 days this week instead of four. So that was kind of nice. Only worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But then This coming week, I'm back on Sunday.
Yeah, well, here it's been kind of interesting. The work crews are still giving her shit in my neighborhood. The pipes have been replaced. I'm back on the city water line again. And,
Danny boy, the pipes have been replaced.
Yeah, no more lead water. I'm no longer as bad off as Flint, Michigan.
No more lead. It's cleaner, safe to drink.
Although I've probably already got cancer cells from the last couple of years of drinking lead water developing. Yeah. I know the kidney stones are probably the part of one of the symptoms, but we'll see what the lawyers have to say about that when it comes to suing the city.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, today they were replacing all the sidewalks. So I was chatting up the fellas, and What a group of red-pilled based human beings. Not a single mask. Not worried about the social distancing. Just a bunch of real dudes doing manual labor, talking shit. Not a care in the world. None of this fucking libtard leftist crap about a pandemic. Oh, it was great.
And nobody talking to you about the day you flipped out on the guy for yelling on his phone?
Yeah, well, that was a city guy. Eh? These were
These are the contractors. I gotcha.
Yeah, so a little more down to earth.
Yeah.
But speaking of COVID, just let's get this out of the way so we can enjoy the rest of the episode.
Get your numbers out of the way because, you know, the second wave is coming, apparently.
Oh, yeah, even that fucking fake
conservative Game of Thrones here. Winter is coming.
Yeah, even that fake conservative premier of ours, Doug Ford, hinting that there'll be another lockdown. Yeah. It's like this piece of shit got voted in because of fiscal conservatism and getting Trudeau out of office at some point.
Yeah.
Not to fucking be a sellout and a closet libtard. Turns out he's in with the globalists, I guess, and he's gonna shut us down, you know, at least the greater Toronto area,
yeah,
very very shortly. So yeah, it just goes to show, never mind being red pilled, you may as well be black pilled. Every political party's a fucking scam.
Yeah.
You know? They don't even represent what their values are supposed to be. So fuck them all. That's what I say. But anyway, I was updated COVID stats for all the sheep. So hey, all you sheeple out there, all you fraidy cats, here's the updated COVID. These aren't my numbers. These are from the WHO. So YouTube. All you fucking cunts at YouTube, if you want to take down our video or censor us for me stating the numbers that are on the WHO site, well, that just shows how communist you are. But in the meantime, I'm going to state them. So here's the world totals. 30 million cases worldwide. 954,000 deaths. But once again, if you divide the number of deaths by the number of cases and, you know, take into account how many millions more are walking around with this fucking deadly disease, you do the math, 0.03. So in other words, your chance of survival is at minimum 99.7.
No, 99.97. You keep forgetting that zero there.
Yeah, thanks, pal. 99.97. So, yeah. And Canada, for all you Canuckistanis, all you communist Canadian fags, 141,606 cases, 9,201 deaths. Well, wouldn't you know, Canada not doing as well, eh? Still,
yeah.
99.94 survival rate, because it's only a 0.06 death rate. So, and, you know, the average age of people dying is like 80. And then anyone younger than that that's kicking off has pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
And now they're saying that 6% of the total deaths are only from COVID alone. So that tells you that the majority were unhealthy or elderly to begin with.
Exactly.
So now that we've got that out of the way, do what you will, YouTube. Me and Destry don't give a flying fuck anymore.
No.
You're a bunch of fucking commie scum, and that's how it is. So.
And if I won the lottery, we'd still be shooting this fucking thing. We'd just have a nicer studio.
Yeah, yeah.
So we enjoy doing it.
I don't know if you and I have spoken before about our good buddy Joe Rogan. We just love Joe and the Joe Rogan Experience. he's been a part of our lives for a number of years, watching his episodes and many great guests and not so great guests.
Not a big fan of the new studio, though.
No, the new studio sucks. He's trying to be like, oh, look, I'm in a spaceship. Ah.
Yeah.
He should have kept it the way it was, but, well, you know, he had to show off the new contract, you know, spend some of that. But now it's the rumor is it's not $100 million, but $150 million.
Oh, I heard 110.
Yeah, so it's anywhere between 100 and 150 million. It was just yesterday. I was online and I forget what podcast I was watching, but they said 150 million. Either way, this guy's got more money than Jesus. So, at this point, he doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks about anything. But
it's not really much of a comparison because Jesus was flat ass broke.
Yeah, not a comparison. Yeah. But if I was him, I would start caring about what certain people think because censorship can happen to anyone. And I don't know if you heard about he had a Tim Kennedy on as a guest and on a recent podcast. Tim Kennedy, ex-Army Ranger, ex-professional fighter, buddy of Joe's. And they got on the Tim Kennedy suggested that how about cutting out the mainstream media and have Joe be the moderator of a debate between Biden and Trump, just the two of them, and in his studio, 4 hours, Joe as the middle guy, the moderator. So they put it out there on Instagram and Twitter. A lot of people loved it. But apparently the mainstream media, who likes to control these things, were not happy about this suggestion. So
funny, though, because Trump is.
I know.
Trump actually retweeted it and said he would do it. So.
Yeah, but leave it to, of course, the mainstream media, they want to control this, and they want to control the narrative. They want to be able to do it. So they sent their lackeys up. Talk shit about Joe, and among those lackeys there's this daytime talk show with a bunch of old shriveled up bitches called The View, bunch of has-been broads. Yeah, The View, bunch of has-been broads. Whitney Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, all these fucking old hags. They just
matter
sit
of fact, out of all of them, Whoopi's the only one that I know. Like the other three, I'm like, who the hell is that? I don't know what the hell they're famous for.
Yeah, well, Joy Behar's a hack comic who never really made it. I don't know what these other bitches did, but they're all no talent and no brains. Yeah. So I guess ABC put them up to talking shit about Joe. And I'm just looking at the quotes here. Sonny Haston, one of the chicks on the panel, called Rogan misogynistic, racist, homophobic, and not fit to host. Sour grapes, mainstream media?
Yeah, like show some examples of this misogyny and homophobia, and, because I've never seen any of those in Joe.
Complete and utter bullshit.
Yeah.
I think the main reason for this whole, when Trump retweeted Joe's proposition and agreed to it, that ruffled the feathers of the mainstream media, who think that he's like some sort of Nazi alt-right guy.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who endorsed fucking Bernie Sanders. Tulsi Gabbard first, and then later was a Bernie bro.
Yeah.
Tulsi was out of the race. And, he says himself that he's a liberal and a lefty.
Yeah.
To me, I think he's kind of confused, though. I think he's just like libertarian because, you know, he believes in the Second Amendment, he believes in hunting,
yeah,
but at the same time, he doesn't give a shit about gay marriage, weed, all these other social issues. So I think he's more in the libertarian mindset, but we'll let him define himself. But don't you think it's fucking stupid that these know-nothing cunts, that this is like, you know, our mother and grandmother's generation, you know, these talk shows are what they watch in the mornings, yeah. And this is, they don't know anything about the internet, and this is the narrative getting spun to them is, oh, this evil Joe Rogan, this Nazi, I can't believe, having never watched a single episode of his podcast.
Yeah.
What a fucking crock of shit, if you ask me.
Yep.
Fucking stupid. Stupid. Hey, I got pages of shit to rant about today, let me tell you. This might be, I'll try to keep it from being a record-long podcast. So, remember a week or two ago, we were talking about this Rebel News reporter, Avi Yemeni. He was arrested in Australia. All he was doing was attending this, as a member of the media, was attending this anti-lockdown protest.
Yeah.
He had gotten the proper permit and paperwork to attend it as media. And the video went viral of him being taken down roughly, you know, face first, arms cranked behind his back, arrested. He was later released. And then that night at his home in the wee hours, these cocksucker Australian police, the Gestapo, I guess Australia's become a fascist state. They sent the fucking Gestapo to intimidate him in the wee hours of the morning. But unfortunately for them, he had everything recorded. He had both audio recordings and a security camera video showing that it was in the wee hours, late night after midnight, that these fucks come to his door to intimidate him. And so now he is suing the Australian government and the Australian police for roughing him up, harassment and intimidation. And like to get your thoughts on this whole, like, it's not just an Australian situation, but we're seeing worldwide this fascism.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I totally agree with him on his side of it, and I hope he wins the lawsuit. And, you know, we're seeing it here in Canada with David Menzies being arrested and, released very shortly thereafter, because obviously they knew they didn't have anything on him. That was just their tactic to get him away from the arena that he was reporting in front of, you know. And it's just getting crazy, you know, when a country like Canada is having that happen. And even Australia has gone almost full-blown communist in their recent lockdown. It's just insane.
Yeah, with this, and they have way fewer cases than Canada, even.
Yeah.
And in one, apparently it's mostly...
People aren't allowed to leave their houses unless they have a really good reason for it. And if you don't, you can be fined and you can even be arrested.
There's videos on Twitter that I've seen of, like... women who had their face mask on and just simply wanted to get out for a walk being tackled and choked by police.
Yeah.
You know, there was a video that came out on Alex Jones showing a pregnant woman being arrested in her home because she made a Facebook post basically trying to organize a political protest rally about these lockdowns. And basically, it's like thought crime kind of charge.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, and the video shows them barging into her home, arresting her. And, you know, she had an ultrasound or some appointment with her doctor because she's pregnant.
Right.
The husband's holding their other child and filming with his phone with his free hand, and it is just ridiculous. Like, all she was doing was, you know, you're perfectly within your right to gather, you know, and have a political rally.
Yep.
You know, free, you know, in a free democracy, if Australia is supposed to be a democracy, a free Western nation.
Yep.
You should be allowed to fucking gather and say your opinion.
Peaceful protest.
Yeah. And so that's, and apparently it's really bad. I believe it's
not peaceful protests like the ones that are setting buildings on fire, actual peaceful protests.
Yeah, like people, you know, just with microphones and signs.
Chanting and marching.
Yeah, not looting, setting buildings on fire.
Yeah.
Like a certain group of communists.
But it's mostly peaceful.
Yeah, like a certain group of communist-influenced people down south of the border of Canada.
Yeah.
You know, Kenosha, Wisconsin, Portland.
Yep.
California, Washington, like, no, Australia, they've gone full minority report, like full,
yeah.
You know, like thought crime now, like,
yep.
Jesus Christ, what's this world coming to?
Speaking of Portland, Oregon finally sent in the state troopers in
did
full
they?
Riot gear.
Nice.
A few videos of it. And oh. Basically what they're doing is they're announcing, you know, that you're not allowed to be on the streets right now. I think they've enacted martial law. I'm not sure about that. They've enacted a curfew, I believe. And, you know, they're basically saying you're not allowed to be on the streets right now. If you do not disperse, we will be firing tear gas. Anybody left will be arrested, etc., etc. And they're actually doing it. You know, there's videos of them doing it. Fucking protesters running up to the police like they're about to do something, and the police just shoving them down, and, yep.
Amen, brother, amen.
Yep.
I hope that's coming up on the screen.
It is.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, well, yeah, it's funny how, you know, the New World Order, you know, these Bilderbergers, these globalists, whatever label you want to give them, but those that rule over us, yeah. they really don't understand that the power they hold over us is quite thin and tenuous, mm-hmm. and all depends on our compliance.
Yep.
And when push comes,
it all depends on how willing we are to be sheep.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to come to a head at some point, because even now you're hearing about people with the masks. Like, there's a lot of people, like a lot of these, especially a lot of these dumb liberal broads that wear these masks 24/7.
Yeah.
And now they're getting mouth issues.
They're getting acne around their mouths.
You know, because they're so fucking stupid. They wear these things. I just saw a dumb broad when I was talking to the construction workers out in front of my place, and none of us had masks, and she walked by us and just shook her head, and she had the mask on, and it's like she's more than 50 feet away from us walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Outdoors in the fresh air.
Yeah.
And these guys
are shaking her head at you. It should be the other way around.
And we're just laughing at her. We're like, look at this dizzy broad.
Yeah.
What a fucking dummy. So, yeah, great. On another topic here,
Hey, quick interruption here. I found out yesterday that apparently there is another podcaster in town doing a local Thunder Bay podcast. I don't know what the name of it is, but apparently Shelby Chung was a guest on the podcast and had some not so nice things to say about a certain DJ, radio DJ that you and I are both acquainted with. And I know you're not too fond of him. But what she was saying certainly wasn't true. She was talking about him always being negative and making fun of city council all the time. And I'm like, the hell are you talking about? The only time he's negative and makes fun of city council is when the idiots are spending money that they shouldn't be spending. You know, John, for all his flaws, is fiscally conservative. And that's what he bitches about. You know, because our city council isn't being fiscally conservative. I felt like telling John, and I want to say this on our podcast, Shelby Chung is to Thunder Bay what AOC is to the U.S.
Oh, she's a complete leftist bimbo.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like another one of these fucking, you know, failures of the university system.
Yeah. In case he sees it, from me anyway, shout out to John Ongaro at 99.9 The Bay.
You know, on a personal note, I never cared much for your issues
with him in the past, so you're not going to give him a shout out.
I'm not going to shout out, but the fact that how's that old saying go? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So if he's her enemy, I guess that'll make him my friend in a way, eh?
Yeah.
So, fuck that fucking communist piece of shit. You know, fuck her. Fucking. Yeah. Anyway, for most of you viewers that aren't from our location.
Get a kick out of that anyway.
Yeah, I appreciate that. This chick's a city councilor and a complete bimbo, and yeah, she makes AOC seem bright, so.
Yeah.
There you go. I was just about to say, on Fox News, there was this show, I guess it's a regular show called The Five, where they have these five hosts. It's usually four broads and one dude, and they discuss current issues of the day. But they had as a guest Newt Gingrich, one of the old neocons blast from the past.
Yeah.
But old Newt hit a nerve with the new Fox. As you may have heard, Fox has been going more and more towards, if not the left, certainly the center. They've been bought out, and they have new sponsors, and so they're becoming more...
Oh, yeah, because they've been bought by Disney.
So... the only real conservative left is probably Tucker Carlson, and everyone else is either towing the line or is getting the heave-ho. But so now they have to spin the milk toast narrative, and I guess old Newt didn't get the script, so he appeared on the show, and being the old neocon that he is, he was quite outspoken, and they weren't ready to hear what he had to say, as apparently the panel had a meltdown when Newt Gingrich called out the illustrious infamous George Soros and other evil instigators from a certain Middle Eastern country whose people wear small hats and have been accused of being responsible for funding Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and other terror groups that are destroying.
They're not based in Kekistan, are they?
No, they're not based in Kekistan. So I guess he was calling out these people from that country of origin, where the people wear small hats, saying that they are funding these groups that are destroying the USA. His interview would be cut short after his comments. And the panel of five basically disavowed his comments. Your thoughts on the sudden red pilling of Newt Gingrich?
Oh, I don't know. I don't really know too much about that other than what you've just told me, but it sounds like it would have been fun to watch.
Oh, they're on to us. They're on to us.
Geez, he almost sounded like Alex for a minute there when he does his Cobra Commander impression.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. More and more, there's a lot of people being red pilled and disavowing this certain nation that has been funding a lot of things that are not for our better. Not for the betterment and improvement of our country, but rather the detriment of it. So, I've never considered myself a Newt Gingrich fan, but good on him for red-pilling the Fox News show panel. And my thoughts are, best of luck to you, Newt. I know there's a place in hell reserved for you, but... perhaps they'll cut you, perhaps St. Pete will cut you some slack after this performance on Fox News. Somewhat related to that, I guess you heard President Trump nominated for Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah.
For getting this peace deal between Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Israel, getting them to sign this Middle Eastern peace deal. And everyone's like, whoa, imagine peace in the Middle East. But it seems kind of funny how the nations involved, you know, all have vested interests in doing business with the United States.
Yeah.
Whereas all the poor, less better off countries in the Middle East seem to be on the outs. And those countries would be Iran and Turkey.
Yeah.
Amongst others. And it leads me to wonder if perhaps there's some sort of evil, evil alliance being made here where, you know, Saudi Arabia, they're, oil, that's the big thing. A lot of countries would like to, have their oil, including the United States and Israel, amongst others. And then you have, the U.S. not only being dependent on Saudi Arabian oil, but they've sold a lot of weapons and arms to Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
To basically be the new police of the Middle East. And then you have that country in the Middle East that the people with the small hats live in.
Yeah.
And many of whom are involved in the banking industry and other prominent industries.
Affiliated
with
the industry.
So there's this unholy alliance between these nations where it's in their best interest to be all buddy-buddy and not to be feuding. But where does this leave these less fortunate Middle Eastern countries, particularly ones that I believe still don't have a Rothschild-owned bank, don't have a central bank, perhaps, are a different faction of the Islam religion. There's a lot of Muslims fighting amongst themselves. I know the countries like Turkey and Iran don't care too much for Saudi Arabia because they don't think that their type of Islam is the right kind.
Yeah.
And, so I found that all interesting. But, USA Today was kind of touting, I found it weird that they were touting this Middle Eastern peace deal because usually they're pro-Democrat, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that work at USA Today that are from a certain country where people wear small hats in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. What do you think of Trump, long story short, what do you think of Trump being nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize?
It almost seems kind of backwards to give it to him. It almost seems kind of hypocritical, but really, that's mostly because of his image, whereas his actions often differ from his image, and these are good actions. Whether or not it actually lasts and whether or not there's an ulterior motive behind it is another question. But if it's all genuine and it works, good for him.
Yeah, that's the thing of it. We could criticize on the one hand that there may be more nefarious or alternative motives to this peace deal considering the nations involved. But if it does bring about peace, or at least some variation of it in that region, you can't exactly knock it, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Now, mind you, there will be those who will remind us that Obama brought peace to that region. Obama brokered a peace deal in that area too. So,
okay. Well, it seems that if there's a difference between Obama and Trump, it's that Trump is real buddy-buddy with Israel, and Obama was real buddy-buddy with Iran, and that seems to be that seems to be the big sticking point between the, you know, the Democrats and Republicans is how they go about things in the Middle East.
Yeah. And I think Obama's peace deal was between Iran and Iraq, wasn't it?
Well, I remember he gave the what was that, Iran $150 billion?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
That's a lot of fucking money.
Whereas Trump's peace deal is between Israel and Saudi Arabia and who else you said?
United Arab Emirates.
Oh, well, yeah, Saudi Arabia. It's part of that.
Yeah, the neighboring country. Well, basically the rich Arabs and the Jews of Israel he made a deal with.
Yeah.
And he excluded all the bombed out poor Muslim nations of the Middle East. So that leads one to wonder, you know, could he be helping these countries with their expansionist plans, eh?
Yeah, but at the same time, if somebody were to criticize him for leaving out some of those other countries, one could say, well, Obama already took care of Iran and Iraq, so Trump didn't need to. You know what I mean?
But we also know he's been doing a lot of saber rattling with Iran. So I think him and Obama were just on different wavelengths when it when it comes to the Middle East, because I think Obama really was not a fan of Israel, whereas Trump is. And then conversely, Trump can't stand Iran, and Obama, you know, made deals with Iran. So it's kind of interesting to see, like, and both, you know, Obama, he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for his accomplishments, and now Trump, and yet they are on total different...
Mind you, the whole thing with Iran, too, I understood why Obama was supporting Iran, because Iran was being accused of trying to develop nuclear facilities so that they could develop nuclear weapons, and that was bullshit. It was proven time and time again that Iran did not have weapons-grade uranium except that little bit that the U.S. gave them. You know, and that was for testing purposes only, and that's all they ever used it for. Iran's nuclear ambitions are basically to provide clean, free power to their people. You know, so I understood why Obama sided with Iran on that, and I agreed with that at the time. Now, I don't really know what the situation is in Iran, if they're starting to develop weapons-grade capabilities or not. I don't think so, though.
No, and
Iran used to be, I mean, back in the 70s, I'm sure you've seen the pictures online of what Iran used to look like back in the 70s, you know, and even in the 60s before all the wars started over there.
Yeah.
Because the war in Iran, between Iran and Iraq, didn't break out until 76. And before that, Iran was a hot spot. It was a happening place. You know, also, women dressed like they did here on the beaches. Women drove, you know, like, it was great. Iran was a nice place back then.
Well, and then when they overthrew the government and the radicals took over, then it became more highly, religious, the religious doctrine and covering up with the burqas and, and it was a complete, turnover of how life used to be in that region.
If you looked at pictures of Iran from back in, say, 75 before the wars started, and you weren't told where they were, you would think it was an American neighborhood. You know, they had nice cars. They, like I say, the women dressed like our women dress, you know. They had beaches and that. And, well, it's a landlocked country, but, you know, I think they've got their own lakes and shit like that. But, you know, it was very similar to the U.S. in appearance, you know.
And I think that in the coming years, we're going to see, like, if Iran and Turkey continue to flex, their traditional version of Islam and aren't willing to compromise with the rest of the Middle East, because it seems like both Israel and Saudi Arabia are determined to do business with the United States, and they're willing to compromise. But the States wants to pull out of the Middle East, so they're basically empowering Israel and Saudi Arabia now to be.
Here's something I bet you didn't know about Iran, and this is the reason why I remember the year that the war broke out, because in 1976, the Scouting World Jamboree was supposed to be held in Iran, and my dad and I were actually going to go.
Wow. And
it got canceled when the war broke out, and all the, you remember how back in those days, scouting, they always had embroidered crests made up for stuff like that, that you could sew on your camp blanket or whatever. And my dad and I had the 76 World Jamboree crests, and those things became worth a fortune.
Oh, geez.
Among collectors, anyway.
Nice.
Because the Jamboree got canceled.
Yeah. But anyway, I find the whole situation out there intriguing, because
that just goes to show you what kind of country Iran was at the time, that, you know, that Iran was willing to host the Jamboree and that the rest of the world was willing to go there. It was a nice place.
Yeah. I just think the whole Middle East as a whole is fucked, and I think if there's one thing Trump is right about, it's that, you know, not just the States, but even as Canadians, that our countries should stay the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And
it's all religious.
Yeah, it's all religious bullshit.
Yeah, it's all based on the differences between a couple of different factions of Muslim.
Yeah, and it just goes to show, same religion but different tribe. So, you know, they're even tribal out there. They talk about racism and tribalism amongst North Americans.
And even with Israel and Palestine, it's still religious. It's because Israel's are Israeli Jews and Palestinians are not. You know, they're Palestinian.
Yeah.
Totally different religion. And that's all it's about, is all the religions.
And you look at the big three religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And, I always thought that there should be like a, if there was one thing about this new world order that made sense to me was this one world religion, except my version in my head was just like, just have common sense, top 10 rules to follow, which is, mutual respect, treat others as you would want to be treated, don't screw around, don't steal, don't murder, that kind of shit. Yeah. Common sense stuff. And then leave all the complex fairy tales and doctrine to storytellers and just.
Yeah.
But instead, we have all this division because of this fucking tribalism. Yeah. But, you look at the way this New World Order is coming about, they're doing it in an evil way, where it's like worldwide communism, worldwide fascism, dictatorship, a surveillance state, vaccines, microchipping.
A select few in power and the rest under the heel.
So, that's where I get off. I get off the bus at that point, because I'm not on board.
I agree with globalism in the sense of Gene Roddenberry's vision of globalism. Because if there are other intelligent life forms out there, we're never going to meet them and start really working with them until we unify this planet. But the way that they're trying to do it, those that are trying to unify the planet, they're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah,
and they're doing it for power, not for true unity.
Yeah, power and greed, the usual, you look at our governments, like, that's why I'm beyond red-pilled when it comes to governments. Now I'm black-pilled because, it doesn't matter what party we vote for, they've all been co-opted and bought off. It's a corporatist world. It's funny that during all these lockdowns, small businesses were forced to shut down, yet, the big companies, the Walmarts, Costco's, McDonald's, Amazon, their stocks went through the roof, mm-hmm. and they were allowed to flourish while mom and pop stores and restaurants were going under, yeah. told they couldn't be open. And, you know, it's just another one of these, rich man scams, you know, like,
yep.
and that's all this virus is. Like, you have big pharma, they're going to capitalize on this scam. You've got with the vaccine agenda, you know, you got the media, they're bought off by the corporate elite. So they'll follow the script and they'll do, fear porn on the news for ratings.
Yeah.
You'll tell one that the world's falling, you know, the sky is falling. Mm-hmm. Oh, get every on and oh, if it bleeds, it leads. So let's sensationalize. That's why all they do is shit on Trump. And you know, he ain't no saint, he ain't no hero of mine. But to me, he's about as mediocre as any other world leader. So why the extra attention on him?
Yep.
I think it's because he's an outsider, he wasn't part of their club. He didn't want to join,
and he still isn't.
So I already told a few people that that you watch, regardless of who wins that election south of the border, there will be turmoil one way or the other.
Oh yeah, either way, there's going to be turmoil.
Because if he loses, the redneck militias are going to freak out.
Yep.
If he wins, you know, the
Antifa are going to freak out.
You know, and that's what these globalists want anyways, because they want to have martial law, lockdowns. You know, we hear about these FEMA camps. I tell people about FEMA camps and they mock me.
Yeah.
And then you go online and you could see aerial photos of these FEMA camps. There's like hundreds of them dotting the United States.
Yep.
So they're preparing for any shitstorm that comes, regardless of who starts it. So,
yep.
And this is what they want. They want an excuse to, you know, curfews, lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's destroy the middle class, make everyone compliant. Your only shopping options are Walmart and Costco and Amazon. Yep. The only place you can eat is fucking McDonald's or handful of other big chain restaurants that are, you know, if you want to have leisure activity, it better be Disney.
Because so there ain't now, nowhere. All restaurants are Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But this Demolition is what man.
Yeah, but this is what, you know, I keep telling these people that, you know, they will take whatever you give them. And if you are going to continue to be sheep and not put up a fuss, this is what we can expect.
Keep taking it, yeah.
Speaking of which, the censorship angle, you know, Twitter and Facebook, they're great for free speech. Not. They suspended the account of a Chinese virologist who appeared on Fox News, Tucker Carlson's show. She claimed China made COVID-19 as a bioweapon and released it intentionally to create the havoc that we've been going through over these last number of months. The name of the doctor is Dr. Li Mingyan, and she was literally censored just hours after her explosive interview on Tucker Carlson, where she basically claimed, and again, I'm saying this is her claim, not mine, but she claimed on Tucker Carlson that COVID-19 was not from a wet market in Wuhan, but rather a lab, and that it was bioengineered weapon created purposely to cause what has been going on these last number of months.
Yep.
So good old Twitter and Facebook, those bastions of free speech, they removed her Facebook account, and anyone retweeting or posting anything to do with this interview with Tucker Carlson was taken down. So I imagine, you know, once the minions at YouTube find out that we're discussing this, I'm sure we'll be shadow banned, censored, what have you. But I'm at the point I don't give a shit, so just letting you know. Yeah, and of all places to hear about this, because I didn't see the interview. I actually saw the interview highlights on Glenn Beck's The Blaze. So, well, compadre, what do you think of this bit of censorship?
Well, obviously, you know what I think about the censorship. As for whether or not I think it's true, though, I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I don't know myself, but sounds plausible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're capable of just about anything.
The thing that people don't realize is that China's government is crazy. So, yeah, they're quite capable of doing something like that. People may not think the U.S. government would be capable of doing something like that to its own people, but the Chinese government sure as fuck is.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and the reason I know, you know...
Personally, I think the U.S. government is too, but, you know...
Oh, let's be fair. Every country is spying on each other.
Yeah. You know,
our own allies are spying on us, and we spy on them. I remember seeing an episode of InfoWars with Alex Jones where he had an intelligence person on saying that there's like this unwritten agreement between the States, Canada, Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, between their spy agencies, intelligence agencies, basically this unwritten agreement, unspoken agreement that they will spy on each other, basically, but for the purpose of letting each other know, you know, if something's on the up and up, like if there's something or if something is going on in that country, like, oh, you've been infiltrated by communists. We know because of blah blah blah. Just letting you guys know, or we're aware of a terrorism.
Basically, keeping an eye on each other, having each other's backs.
Yeah, but doing it by spying on each other, which is kind of ironic. Eh?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't put anything past any nation, really, given those facts.
Yeah.
Getting back to Canada.
Do we have to?
I we're Canadian in citizenship, but it's getting hard to like this country, I tell you.
Yeah.
I have a hard time. It's getting harder and harder when I know that I'm surrounded by so many fucking leftist communist sheep. Did you hear 3/4 of Canadians now, according to this CBC poll, so I'll take that for what it's worth, 3/4 of Canadians would support a second lockdown if there was an uptick in cases of COVID. So you just look around you, and 3/4 of the idiots around you, if you believe this CBC poll, would be okay with another lockdown for the sake of security and safety from this deadly pandemic.
Yep.
So anyway,
from this deadly pandemic that probably hasn't even killed as many people as last year's tuberculosis outbreak.
I don't remember during the H1N1 years back them doing this to us. Do you?
Yeah. The Ebola scare didn't even do this to us.
No, it's fucking... It's SARS purely
didn't do this to us.
Purely political.
Yeah.
And speaking people of political...
People forget about all those other ones, you know?
Yeah.
People think that we've never had anything like this before. Yes, we have. SARS, Ebola, H1N1, tuberculosis last year. You know, none of those things shut us down.
No. No. But, you know, we're a bunch of scared, cowardly sheep, and, you know, we just want to be taken care of by Big Brother.
Yeah.
Even if it means giving up our rights and freedoms for a little bit of safety.
Tell you, sometimes it's tempting to just fucking pack up and move to Siberia.
you'd actually
live out in the wilderness of Siberia, man.
Yeah, people leave you alone out there. Nobody wants to go there. And none of it looks pretty good right about now, as far as our country, because I don't think too many people want to go there either. Baffin Island.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this article I got from the St. John's Telegram. Hundreds of Newfies rally at the Confederation Building in St. John's for demanding federal support for the oil and gas industry. Well, good luck with that, because Trudeau's trying to destroy
oil. And,
you know, and
he's not going to support Alberta. He's sure as hell not going to support Newfoundland.
No, and these Newfoundlanders, many of whom worked either offshore on the oil rigs in the Atlantic or commuted to Fort Mac in Alberta to work, they, you know, how quickly they forget it was them that, you know, they only have themselves to blame as they voted in a Liberal government in their province.
Yep.
And when they were prospering, it's when they had, you know, the oil boom took place when the Conservative government was in there pushing the oil industry, and now you have a Liberal government that's anti-oil and gas, and oh geez, our jobs don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. So, go figure.
Yeah, and now here they are with their hands out.
Funny what a title change it was when you switched from Conservative to Liberal government.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Stephen Harper was a drip, and in a lot of ways, you know, not the most warm, personable fella, but fiscally, he was probably the most responsible prime minister we've had in the last few, at least. And look where we are now. But yeah, so the Newfies, you know, and I say that, you know, in a warm, fuzzy way. Apparently now Newfoundlanders are divided about being called Newfies, what used to be a tender and endearing nickname. Now it's like 50-50, you know, thanks to political correctness, half the Newfies.
Because they've got a Liberal government.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so they're all pissed off because thousands are out of work offshore. Thousands out of work, you know, in the Alberta
And that's another reason why they're arguing over whether or not to call them Newfies. They got nothing else to do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
sex is off the table. Everyone's already pregnant.
They can thank the Liberal government for their fishing quotas and their fisheries going under.
Yep.
They can all these, the over-regulation of their livelihoods. You know, they were already being, you know, being mocked and persecuted for the seal hunts in recent years, which was a big part of their economy. Then the fishing, you know, everyone's saying, oh, you're overfishing. So they took that away from them.
Yep.
At least the oil industry, you know, the offshoot of the oil industry was, you know, construction and trades jobs, because now all these Newfies were making big bucks.
Yeah.
So they're buying nice homes.
Yeah.
Construction was going through. So all the trades were booming. You know, the store, hardware stores, the box stores, people were buying new vehicles. Now everyone's fucking going broke, going tits up, and here they go crying to the Liberal government that they voted in that killed their industry.
Yeah.
And now they're crying for economic support. That tiny province of only 500,000 people is $2 billion in the hole. Now you compare that to, say, in Ontario. That's a drop in the bucket for Ontario, but there's millions of Ontarians.
Yeah.
$2 billion deficit for a tiny province and an aging province like Newfoundland. Yeah. They're fucked. They're fucked without a handout.
Yep.
So the Hibernia platform, that project stalled. Bay du Nord, West White Rose, Husky Oil, Terra Nova, all shut down due to a combination of, you know, Saudi Arabian market flooding and COVID-19 issues. Yeah. So now they're approaching Trudeau for a bailout. And we know that's not going to happen because Trudeau's planning to kill the oil and gas industry. And we're already approaching $1 trillion debt. So my question to you is, Are we fucked?
If we don't get rid of our liberal governments across the board, not just Trudeau, but even the provincial ones, yes.
Yeah. I mean, how do they expect to get bailed out when Ontario's debt's far worse? And, you know, and we have a conservative government, albeit a fake conservative government.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
The only way they'd get bailed out is if they were Quebec.
Yeah. Well, Quebec Mafia. That's who got Trudeau elected.
Yeah.
So, I have a fondness in my heart for Newfoundland, having lived there for a number of years with my ex-wife and my children. And now that
family was born there.
And now that I'm back in Ontario, I always long for the laid back, simple life of the island. But given the current state of affairs, you know, going back there just ain't going to be an option, because a lot of them are going to be moving away. It's not going to be economically sustainable or feasible to stick it out.
No.
It's going to be a retirement, bunch of retirement communities.
If you won the lottery, you could do it, but otherwise, no. If you're dependent on working for a living, forget about going there.
Yeah, it's going to be, like I say, you know, retirees and you know, maybe some rich mainlanders want to spend their retirement and get a nice foreclosure deal over there, in a patch of land or something. But
yeah,
well, good
retirees
luck.
Retirees and skeets.
Yeah, retirees and skeets. Anyway, been dwelling on a lot of negative as per usual, because there ain't a lot positive going on in the world these days. So how about we switch gears and give the sheeple out there something to feel good about? Let's play our weekly game of Would You Rather?
Alrighty then.
For first-time viewers and listeners, this is our famous weekly game, Would You Rather? I ask Destry, the Canadian Info Warrior, a series of questions, with the answers being option A or option B. There's no right or wrong answer. It's all for shits and giggles. It's open for debate.
And usually no good answer.
There's usually no good answer anyway. So that being said, let's proceed. Are you ready?
I am.
Destry, question number one. Would you rather A, be covered completely head to toe in fur, or B, be covered head to toe in scales?
Oh, fur, definitely. I don't know why, it just seems like scales would be more gross.
It would be good for protection.
Yeah.
But, yeah, fur, you'd be more cuddly to the females if you were furry.
Yeah.
You'd be warm in the winter.
Yep.
You would, however, overheat in the summer.
Yeah, but there are ways to cool off.
True, could jump in a lake or whatever.
I mean, we're fat guys as it is. We know what it's like to overheat in the summer.
Yeah, we're sweating regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and I don't know too many women that are into lizards.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm gonna have to agree with you, buddy. go figure. Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it? You and I agreeing on something?
Really, like it's only 99% of the time, but yeah. Hey. So the question, would you rather be covered in fur or be covered in scales? Destry and I both agree we would rather be covered in fur. Question number two. Destry, would you rather have a real get-out-of-jail card that can be used at any time, or B, have a key that is capable of opening any door?
Hmm.
Like the ultimate skeleton key, or a get out of jail card?
I think I'd probably go for the ultimate skeleton key.
Interesting. Do explain.
Well, I don't think I'd have much need of get out of jail card.
No? You don't think you'd get into any trouble?
Well, you can't have both, so.
Yeah, the key that opens.
You have to be really careful using that key, that's all.
Yeah, like, you know, key that opens certain trucks or warehouses and gives you access to.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that get out of jail card would come in handy because. But I do see your logic.
Get out of jail card would come in handy once you've used the key and gotten caught.
Ah.
But until then, I wouldn't have a need for a get out of jail card, so.
I do like the idea of being able to get into any place I want.
Yeah.
That is a.
Even if all you ever use it for is getting in and out of your house in your own vehicle and, you know, it's the only key you need to get into your camp or your mother's house if you got to go and check on the dogs or what, you know, like anything. Even if all you're using it for is legitimate reasons, there are many legitimate reasons to have one key that covers everything.
True.
Even if you're not thinking along a criminal sense, you know.
Yeah, see, I'm such a shit magnet, and with my violent tendencies, a get-out-of-jail-free card, it would just come in so handy, because yeah. There's so much, you know, with my temperament and the amount of confrontations I've had in my lifetime, and the amount of confrontations I'm likely to have in the future, like, you know, just knowing I'd have a get-out-of-jail-free card, yeah. Like, that would give me
the freedom to express yourself.
Yeah, the freedom to truly express myself. So when some idiot confronts me, insults me, or even makes the mistake of picking a fight with me, I could literally club that person to death knowing that I've got a free get-out-of-jail card.
Yeah.
But that being said, you know, I got to try and be, you know, a better human being. And
personally, I would love having one key for everything I own. You know, my house, my garage, my truck, that would be handy just having one key for all of it.
You know what? You make a strong case.
Yeah.
And buddy, I am with you. Once again, we are two peas in a pod here. Would you rather have a real get out of jail card or have a key that opens any door? We both say B, have a key that opens any door.
Yeah.
All right. We are in agreement once again. Question
number. It was a little touch and go for a while on that one, but came out in agreement.
Yeah, that evil, violent side of mine. I was starting to think of what I could get away with, but that's okay. Question number three: would you rather A, have every traffic light you approach always be green? Or B, never have to wait in a line ever again. So, like,
I think I'd have to go with the green lights because I think that would benefit me more, particularly in my job. Because I don't wait in lines very much anyway. In fact, in most places, if I see there's a lineup, I just drive on by. It's like, fuck it, I'm not doing it.
Not to mention, you do a lot of transactions on your phone, and whether it's banking,
groceries. You know,
So for you, it's definitely more handy. You know, it would be more handy.
The only time I wind up waiting in a line is if I'm going to Tim Hortons on my way to work. You know? So, yeah, and because I drive for a living, spending 12 hours a day behind the wheel, having green lights everywhere would be much handier.
Interesting. Me not having much patience.
and not driving.
Yeah. So
the other would be handier, so we'll be in disagreement on that one.
Yeah, I think change. never having to wait in line or stand in line again.
Yeah.
Because I am so not a people person, and I am so not patient. So that would suit me. So this is one of those rare occasions where you and I will differ, but I do see your point. So
well, the only reason we differ is because we're in two different situations.
Yeah. Because I mean,
my life situation is different than yours, so obviously one's going to be better for you than it is for me.
Yeah, like me, I'm taking more often than not, I'm either on foot patrol or taking the bus. I got after two divorces, I'm lucky that I'm able to have a roof over my head, but a big part of my life is standing in line constantly, yeah. Whether it's the grocery store, the bank, what have you,
yeah.
And the way people are nowadays, I could just do without. So, yeah, we'll differ on this one, but I totally see the logic in your response. So that's three down, one to go. Question, last question. You might find this one somewhat interesting. Would you rather, A, have a sailboat for a home, or B, have an RV for a home?
It would depend on the size for each of them, I think. If we're talking a nice big yacht, I think I would probably go with that.
So let's say that the RV is, makes what rock stars live in look like shit. Let's say it's like a multi-million dollar fucking world class.
Big and the sailboat. Footer.
And the sailboat's like a real elite fucking top of the line for both.
Yeah. I think I would probably go with the boat.
You know what, buddy?
I always like the idea of living on the water.
There's a lot of freedom in that.
Yeah. Yeah, you pay your marina fees here for the summer, and then you move on and pay marina fees somewhere else in the winter. And
and when the zombie apocalypse comes, good
sail off into the sunset.
Yeah, good luck, fucking mainlanders.
Yeah.
You're on your own, fuckers.
And then you can listen to Yacht Rock all the time. Like Kenny Loggins.
Or what was that song
and
by
Bernie Higgins? Sail away to Key Largo.
Who was the guy that sang that old 70s song? Sailing.
Yeah, that's the one I was just thinking of, Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross, yeah. Yeah, there's a picture of that song playing in the background.
At least I think that's who it was.
You're in like a leopard print thong on your fucking yacht.
Yeah.
you got your fucking samurai sword. You're living like fucking Tarzan out on the water. Not a care in the world. You're like Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Yeah.
Fuck them. Fuck them all.
A lot better than Kevin Costner in Waterworld. Drinking his own piss after it was filtered and...
I'll pass on that. Yeah.
But yeah, if we're talking a nice big fully staffed yacht, oh yeah, I'm in there.
You're in like Flynn, eh?
Yeah.
Nice.
I watch some of those videos sometimes on YouTube, these guys that do tours of mega yachts and that, eh? Some of those are pretty nice, man.
Yeah, like there's YouTube channels like any of those alternative like there's a channel called Exploring Alternatives.
Yeah.
And that whole channel is like either people that live in fucking boats or cabins or in vans.
There's one called Aquaholic. And basically what he does is he goes to these boat shows, yacht shows, where, it might be in Spain, it might be in Portugal, it might be wherever, and he flies around and he goes to these things. and he'll take you on a virtual tour of like a 80-foot, $3 million mega yacht, you know. And it's pretty cool. The only thing I don't like, I don't watch his videos very much anymore because his camera is handheld. And so you get that kind of wavy effect, and it makes me nauseous watching it now. Yeah. So I don't watch many of his videos anymore, but they're really well done. I like the way he does it. I like how, you know, some guys, what they'll do is they'll do a tour of the boat, and they don't say a word. And sometimes they'll put music in the background instead or whatever, but all they're doing is just showing it visually. Whereas this guy, Aquaholic, he actually talks through the whole thing, and he points everything out to you. He tells you what everything is, and, you know. So I like that. I don't the guys that don't say nothing.
Yeah, but any of these alternatives, lifestyle, alternative living arrangement things, like on Instagram, for instance, I find that a lot of the things I follow on Instagram are like, you know, either tiny homes, log cabins, you know, living in fucking Montana, Wyoming.
Survival Russia. I know you watch Survival Russia, and My Self-Reliance, Sean James. I know you watch that one too.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's definitely a peace and tranquility and just a freedom that these people have, not being tied down to the grid, not being tied down to the system, you know, and like whether it's, someone having a log cabin in the mountains of Colorado or Idaho, or someone on a frickin' houseboat, or someone, even these, you ever see these people that have, they made homes out of containers, shipping containers?
I've seen that, yeah.
That's fucking amazing, some of the homes.
Some of them are just incredible.
You know, and so that's where I've...
I think there's one channel, I think it's called Our Self-Contained Life or something like that. Husband and wife building their home out of a couple of shipping containers.
Yeah. And then even like, you know, just bush life stuff. Like there's this guy, I believe his channel's called... The Wild North. I could be mistaken. It's on my YouTube subscriptions, and he lives in Northwest Territories. He has a log cabin in the bush up there. His name's Andrew Stanley, a native fella, but he's funny as fuck, and his whole life revolves around, you know, the self-sustaining subsistence lifestyle. Like he hunts and traps. You know, he sells furs that he catches.
Right.
He catches his own fish, hunts for his own meat. There's very little that, once in a while he picks up some odd job just to make a few extra bucks to buy odds and ends.
Yeah.
You know, he has to fix his skidoo or...
Well, that's the beauty of trapping, eh? Because you sell your furs and you've got a little bit of money there that you can use for the things that you can't grow or hunt.
Yeah, and this guy, he's like, just a lethal weapon up in the bush there. Like, it's unreal. Like, and it's hilarious.
Another one that you and I both watch, too, is Bjorn Andreas Bull Hansen.
Yeah,
he's the Norwegian. I like.
Yeah, that Norwegian dude.
Yeah.
It's funny. I guess his background, he was in the business world. And he decided to get back to nature and learn survival skills and...
He's doing well for himself with his book writing.
Yeah, and because he knows how things work in the big city, you know, so his channel, the way it goes, you know, he'll go on some nature hike and build a shelter, build a fire, make himself a cup of tea, and then he has these fireside chats talking about...
I love
about
that one place that he goes to often where it's got that huge rock overhang. Oh, I would love to find a place like that around here. I would definitely shoot videos there if I could.
and it's terrific, his channel, because, you know, he gets philosophical about, you know,
he's got his own piece of property there, or he's got a Viking camp set up.
Yeah, and his survival skills, like he talks about. It's so funny because He's a guy who's walked on both sides of the, he's been on both sides of the fence. He's been a big city business guy.
Yeah.
And at the same time, he has these survival skills and prefers being out in the bush.
Yep.
So he can speak on both, and his perspectives on what to expect, in the world politically, and and how people are, and then how important it is to be able to, get back to nature and be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just never know when the shit's going to hit the fan, and you want to be able to, look out for number one in a survival situation.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, those are some good ones for people to check out if they're along the same lines as us.
A few shout-outs. My younger brother, Jason, has become a fan of our podcast. So,
oh, cool.
A shout-out to Jason Ross. Hey, my younger brother, thanks for watching, and
Same mother.
my brother from the same mother. Hope you're enjoying the show. Also, a shout out to another one of our loyal followers, Todd Shuchuk.
Yeah,
I was just speaking to him today. Told him I'd give him a shout out, and he called me a fag and. Told me to
you're
suck
it. The double shout out, fag.
Yeah, getting the double shout out. So, we called each other fag and, told each other to suck our dicks. And then I said, I'll give you a shout out. What the hell? So, shout out to Todd Shuchuk. You got any shout
outs? He's laughing his ass off right now as he's watching this.
or laughing at us, one of the two. But either way, as long as he's watching. You got any shout-outs?
No, I think that's about it for this week. I didn't have anything in mind anyway.
Yeah, as part of our tradition, I'd like to give a shout-out to, the fine people of the nation of Israel. We love our Jewish brothers and sisters of the human race. We love the country of Israel, and we support its right to be an autonomous and a strong, proud nation. And we support your efforts to render peace amongst all other nations of the world. And we have much respect for your knowledge and abilities and talents. And
you're really laying it on thick this week.
Yeah. Oh, and also a shout out to our overlords at YouTube, in particular CEO Susan Wojcicki. I've offered many times to eat your ass if that would please you and give us a fair shake on this platform, but obviously I wasn't aware that you were a raging lesbian and carpet muncher. So I have no problem with that. I just thought it would be nice to offer you oral pleasure in your anus in return for giving our channel the best possible footing on your platform. But obviously you'd rather shadow ban us, censor us, demonetize. Well, never monetize us.
Yeah.
And for that, all I can say is I hope you die a horrible, horrible death of natural causes, of course. And here's to you, and have a nice day. And that's it for my shout-outs.
All righty. Then I guess that's about it for the show this week. So.
Oh, one more thing for Susan. This is what I think of the job you've done running your platform. Bravo, Susan. Bravo. Yeah. You are so wonderful. God bless you, Susan, and the job you're doing running this platform into the ground.
Yeah.
Thumbs up. And much love and respect. Much love and respect to the nation.
You're playing with your emoticons a little too much there, dude.
Oh, sorry. I'm just giving love to the nation of Israel. Once again, I just want you to know I am not an anti-Semitic person, and I love the nation of Israel, and this is my sign of affection to the great nation of Israel. Thank you.
All righty.
And oh, one more shout out. Free Kekistan. Free Kekistan. Free Kekistan. There, I'm done.
I don't think I'm going to have him as a guest next week, folks. All right, on that note, I guess we're out of here. So we'll talk at y'all, we'll talk at you all next week.
Bye for now, sheep.